questions that could reveal your purpose in life? What if there were questions that could surface the change most meaningful to you? And what if answering those questions would give you the power to ignite? Welcome to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. These are big conversations that lead to self-discovery. Together, let's embark on the leader's journey and ignite meaningful change. Change could happen someday, one day, or it could start to happen now. It all hinges on this next question. Jonathan, perhaps for the very last time, could you please read the Illumify Game Changers reference cards?
Illumify. To illuminate the change that matters most to you. Amplify it so it also matters to those who can help realize it. And unify to align in thought and action as a collective to ignite meaningful change.
And on that note, again, anything that jumps out to you first?
No idea why, but I was drawn strangely to the first line.
Oh, which one?
To illuminate the change that matters most to you. Something that matters most to you. That was just calling me back for a second. It's where we started.
It is where we started. Why do you think it's calling you back?
We will talk about this later, I'm sure. I think one of the great things about this method that you have created, Marianne, I think, is that it, like a good story and a good piece of writing, ultimately it loops back round on itself. It's not linear in the sense that it's just pushing you forward and forward, away from your starting point to some finishing line way out at the end of the track there in the distance. It's through the conversations, through the cards, through the interrogation, through the testing of the vision, all the way through the method, we're constantly looping back to the beginning and also seeing the links, the necessary links between those three phases. So I think I'm just drawn now back to the idea of where we started. What is the thing? What is the thing that matters most to you? How do you bring it to the surface? How do you isolate it so that you can see it clearly in the light of day? I asked you the question yesterday, a very difficult question. How does the leader stay a leader over time? Once the breakthrough has been made, once the status quo has been broken, how does the leader stay? And it leads to interesting questions about renewal and how you renew without betraying the original vision and so on. So I think it's that. It's this sense that in line with the vision itself, we have created something which is spherical. It's not a line from beginning to end. It's not a to-do list from top to bottom. It's a vision which I hope finds its strength in its spherical nature, that it's pushing out in all sorts of directions, but that doesn't lead to dissolution, but leads instead to a robust tension within it. And I'm just reminded of this very simple question of why we started in the first place, which was what is it that matters to you?
Thank you, Jonathan, for seeing that and for saying that. And first, let me emphasize that you're absolutely right. As I've been doing this work for the last 6 years now, and having done similar, strengthening of leadership communication to that degree in my previous business for many years, similar, I said, not the same, distinctly, emphatically, because it's not the same. But as I started, when I did create this and started applying it, I, for a while, as I taught it to clients, would position it as somewhat linear. So you begin with illuminate, then you progress on to amplify, and then unify, and then you're ready to begin to express and ignite. And what I've seen over the last couple of years in particular is it is not linear. And I've struggled with the name for the parts. You've said stages, I've called them phases, I've called them elements, and you know, there may be another, maybe there needs to be a new word, because I have a visual in my head, Brittany, and you were referencing it the other day, and I still haven't retrieved the name of it, but there is, an artist once tried to put these three things into a symbol that showed its concurrency, and I have somewhere in my computer, I have his rendition, and it's almost like if you can envision a line, a thick line, almost like a belt that twists in the middle, and it has a concurrency to it. So it's always moving, because what happens as you begin to illuminate and you emerge even from illumination, yes, that's it. What's that called?
Infinity loop.
Ha, yes, voila, yes, should know. Yes. Well, there's even another version of it, but yes, it is brilliant. Thank you. Even as you emerge, as you have done from illuminate, you see that as we went through amplify, you were still illuminating, and even in unify. And in, I recall saying to you in illuminate, you're now at the unify, like that's what you're saying is unify. Mm. Mm. And so it they interweave.
Yes.
And it is also back to the infinity loop. It is never, ever a static thing. The way that you express your meaningful change, the actions you invoke, the words and actions, never static, because they're ever moving, the people, your collective, you are. And so back to your question about when do you need, you know, when does leadership end? Never. Other things come in, the managing, as we talked about yesterday, but it is a constant. So thank you for seeing that, and thank you for recognizing that this all begins with what is meaningful to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it ends only when what is meaningful to you then exists. Mm. And even then, as the creator of that, it still will require your tender care and expert care. So it's interesting, you have read these reference cards, I don't know, 30 times probably. And the reason that we ask you to do that each time is because the words can take on different meanings as your focus shifts, as you expand into this. So here we are, likely the last time you're answering, given we have a few remaining questions today. And you've been drawn back to the beginning. I love that. Thank you. Can you read the guideline card, please?
Yes, the guidelines. Number one, answer from your heart, not from your head. Two, listen to yourself with care and focused attention. Three, do not judge the validity or viability of your answers. This is about expressing significant new initiatives or ideas that do not yet exist.
Anything jump out there for you?
No.
No?
No, it just hangs together and feels right.
Excellent. So you said yesterday that you used to run.
In my 40s, the long distance
wasn't
running.
Wasn't that long ago.
No, it wasn't that long ago, but yeah. But it needed to be that time in my life, I think.
Okay,
couldn't have done it before then.
Yes.
Don't know why, but it felt right.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay.
And it was long distance running.
Yeah, I did marathons, and it was painful, but also wonderful at times.
So how was the final lap of that marathon when you could see the finish line? Ooh. How did that feel?
Awful, absolutely awful. I mean, because your body's in so much pain. I think there were the good races where you'd run a good race and you'd stuck to your plan and you'd felt that the training plan had worked out and you could then there was the huge surge of emotion.
Yep.
Very powerful emotion. Other times, I'll be honest, other times, real deflation and disappointment because you felt you'd failed.
Timing-wise?
Timing, yeah. I was very rigorous and demanding and every marathon was about
beating
your best time.
Yeah. Remember how you spoke about competition?
That's this is it. I know that fire. You know, I said this before in our conversations, that there is part of me wants to root it out of my life like an evil. Really, yeah. Sometimes I really feel that
the competitive side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
There's part of me that says this has brought me nothing good. Has it fired me along the way and motivated me at times? Yeah, sure. But actually, on balance, I think I deeply believe that human beings can do great things together. Great things together. Out of a sense of collaboration. I really do. But I know that fire is still there within me and I have to live with it. And as I said, at the societal level, the question is how you harness it. Where I love watching competition is on the football field because it brings joy and it drives the athletes to their best. So their competition, yeah, great, it's fine. It's where there is competition in our health and education systems where I think, whoa, hang on.
In the social services where we should each be, yeah.
You know, we have young, fragile minds and bodies at a very tender age.
Mm-hmm.
And we're exposing them to competition. And then the sick and the elderly, the vulnerable, we thrust them into a marketplace for hospitals and services.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
This is not about economics. It's just wrong.
No.
We've gone down the wrong path. It's just wrong.
So if, as you were doing those long distance races, your own competition with yourself could mar the last lap, for example, if you knew you weren't beating the time you'd set and you would be disappointed.
Mm.
You've been on a marathon of sorts.
Journey. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's a multi-marathon.
Multi-marathon. Whoa.
Yeah.
Yes, and transatlantic,
yeah.
We could say.
Yeah.
Based on that, how do you feel going into the final lap? Because it's there. Mm.
No, I feel
can
very
you
good.
See the finish line here.
I can see it. But I feel very good because it's not the first time I've said this, but I think I really, really believe, perhaps more than anything, that if I look at the people around the table now, you, Marianne, Brittany, Jean, who sadly can't be with us today because he's leaving on a flight back home, but also Catherine, who was with us in Toronto and London. For me, first and foremost, I just see a great piece of work together that we've done together and that we could only do together. The only way this thing could have happened and produced value was by us doing this together. It's as simple as
a collaboration.
Oh, yeah. Mm. I deeply, deeply feel the value of that. Conversation at its best is a real exchange. The speaking and the listening in equal measure. The emotional openness that is necessary for good conversation. All of that, we've had all of that. So it all of that just feels great. It really does. And that it has its own intrinsic value. There is a huge... You know, we're talking about this question now. What comes next?
Yeah.
How does the how does the vision manifest itself out in the real world? We're having that conversation. We're not ducking that question. On the contrary, we're walking into that question and talking our way through it. But I would say, and I think this is important as well, I feel that, to use your words, Marianne, I feel that I am already changed by this. I think the work that we've done together has just created value, I hope for all of us around the table.
Absolutely.
And that can never be taken away. That can never be taken away. It can't be diminished. It exists and it lives and it breathes and it's reshaped all of us, I hope. It's certainly reshaped me. Just as a good book rewires you're being rewired by a great film, a great piece of music, a great book, or a great conversation. You are being rewired in the moment. You're being changed in the moment, which is wonderful. If you're open to that, it's wonderful. So, yes, what comes next is important. The future of this is important for me and you, I know, as well. But I just want to pause maybe for a second and just recognize the value of what we've already done and what has taken place. I think that's really important because it's... It's the importance of not always going from A to B. Yeah, it's life isn't fundamentally about getting from A to B in the
or expediency.
No,
in getting there.
No, and what we actually do in the moment, at a particular time, in a particular place, with particular people, and which it is all about our attention and how we give our attention to each other. Mm-hmm. Fundamental. Mm. Fundamental. Yeah.
Thank you, Jonathan. And now we continue through the last remaining cards of Unify. Jonathan, please read the next card in Unify, card 51.
What explicit request can you make of them in the form of what by when? What explicit request can you make of them in the form of what by when? How can others help you realize this meaningful change? What specifically can they think and or do, and by when? Okay, I cheated a little bit here by...
I cheated. Jonathan,
yeah,
Hill.
I did.
This is the first.
Yeah, I looked at the card a little bit in advance.
Okay.
In a pause we had yesterday.
Oh, my goodness. I'm just so disillusioned now.
The whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, so right does. So you can see then, you knew coming into this conversation this morning that this was a direct follow-up from the previous card.
I did, and I sensed also that we're always trying to answer with our heart, of course, but we are a lot closer to sort of implementation now.
Yes, exactly.
And so I thought...
Action.
It would not be wrong to think about it a little bit.
Oh, that's okay.
So, yeah, there you go.
Kudos to you.
Explicit requests. I'm seeing here two or three zones of activity, two or three things that have to happen, particularly at the beginning, and where I would want to make an explicit request to somebody. Can you help me with this now? And that we respect this deadline or that deadline. So there's a sense of urgency here as well. One, the first one, I think, revolves around the vision itself and the text of the vision. I like this idea of maybe a sounding board, a core group of people, small group of people who would be naturally drawn to the language and would be interested in that.
So not a think tank, though?
No, but something more intimate, a group of two or three people. You know, I wouldn't want to say, oh, no, we can't talk about the vision. Vision's done. No, we've got to get on with it. No, don't. no, can't touch the vision. I've spent all this time on that. No, we can't open that
don't
up. What
you
are you doing?
Dare touch my
exactly.
vision.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, precisely.
Hands off.
Precisely. Yeah. So what I'm seeing is a small tight group of people who would be naturally drawn to the vision and its language,
yeah,
and who would want to help with the storytelling. Maybe you know, we talked about the need for evidence, intelligence, examples, yeah, of the vision, and perhaps it's diagnosis, you know, the suffering at the heart of it. Hey, Jonathan, I've just seen this film.
Okay.
I've just seen this report. I've just seen this piece of research. People who would be really at the core of the vision and trying to bring it to life.
Can you see their faces? Are these people you know?
Yeah. I'm not going to put a name to
them. No,
but
you can see them.
I can see
them.
Yeah, I can see who they would be.
Because you could not always remember.
No.
Wow.
And I can see who they
would
be. Excellent. Yeah. And again, across different... They're not from one...
Realms, so to speak.
From different realms.
Wow.
So that's a sort of sounding board, which I think would always be there.
What a great concept. Absolutely.
And it has that double meaning of...
You know what the term board of advisors?
Right. Yeah.
It's more of that kind of thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tight group.
Brilliant.
Really at the core of it.
And
at some point, I'm just thinking further down the line and durability... Perhaps these are also people that sometimes keep the leader straight.
Sure.
You know,
yeah.
I mean...
It's lonely at the top, so
right.
to speak. Yeah. And
leaders
yeah.
can lose their way
sure
because
they
they're
can.
Human.
Absolutely.
So there's a little bit of that going. So there's that. I think that links then to a second group of people who might be less drawn to the actual vision and the wording, but more interested in how we express it, and not just through words, but... People who would see the vision and then imagine it as a piece of film, as image, as music. Why not?
Interesting.
You know, we talked yesterday about the importance of music. You know, your finding music for Lumify was not just a minor detail. It was something you cared about and you wanted to.
Yeah. When it's right.
Yeah. You know when it's right because it's important. So. I think closely linked to the sounding board, but different. It's distinct and separate. I see a group of people who would be drawn to the idea of making a contribution through the various ways in which the vision could take form. And if people want to contribute an aesthetic view, how does it look? How does it feel? What does it smell like?
So that's the primary purpose, the aesthetic. Bringing it to
or
life
just,
that way.
You know, we're looking at tools now. I've seen a great campaign recently where a very intimate campaign about how young men are treated and sometimes treated badly in professional sport. Mm-hmm. And I've got to know this person very well. He's a brilliant campaigner and he's made short films. He needed to make short films because he needed witness statements. You need to put a face to this. So I think it's a group of people who are like everybody else in the collective, they're drawn to the vision, but maybe through their own gifts and interests, they're already thinking, okay, what does this look like? Love the vision. What does it look like? What does it sound like?
Oh, I love
that. You know, I think that's...
When the word Illumify emerged for me and I knew it felt familiar, but, you know, it took a few days to... let it absorb and the parts of it absorb. I was counseled to create the symbolism myself. I was with the two women who had worked with me when Illumify emerged, one of whom was Catherine. And I was told to, I will never forget this. I was standing in front of a flip chart with a felt pen and they said, go to the flip chart and draw the symbols for Illumify. And not thinking at all, out came the illuminate and amplify and unify symbols, just drew them. And then I took them to a brilliant graphic design company in Toronto I'd worked with in my previous companies to create my logo, and they pulled them into shape. And I unintentionally or perhaps intentionally, drew symbols that turn out to be part of sacred geometry, right? And so it's a powerful symbol that at one point someone said to me, could that scare people off? And I didn't even pause because the symbol is so true to what Illumify is. But having that visual behind it, and it allows me, because I also know through my communications research that when we have a symbol and we're speaking of something, a concept, an idea, and we can attach a symbol to it, it imprints it in people's, not only their minds, in my view, also in their hearts. So it's an imprinting of sorts. And so for me, it was essential to have that as I guide people through Illuminate, Amplify, Unify, and show them that when those two halves come together, it is in Unify that there is a frame that unifies, Illuminate, and Amplify. They sit above and below each other and are unified. So for you, with this vision of a shared home with all its magnificent aspects, to be able to put a visual to it would be profoundly important.
Profoundly important. And also, I think, I mean, you've spoken there, Marianne, to the power of symbolism, which we all know. It's also about the limits of language.
We've come
back to this again and again. We love language, mm-hmm. but we recognize its limits as well. A novel, it's fascinating, a novel agrees to limit itself to the words on the page.
Yeah.
There are small percentage of novels that include drawings, photos, diagrams, but that's where people are playing with the form a bit.
But the
classic form is just text.
It is just text. Yeah.
So it's about the text triggering imagination. So the imagination of the writer being connected through to the imagination of the reader via nothing but words on a page.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a vision, we have the luxury. We can give ourselves the luxury of giving it various forms, mm-hmm. Symbols, colors, visuals, physical spaces. We had a lovely conversation about Louisiana here. Not when we were here in Denmark, but I think when we were back in either Toronto or London. So this wonderful, wonderful modern art museum just north of Copenhagen. When I go there, it's more than just a beautiful building containing beautiful art. That the place, the journey to the place, and then the place itself contain, for me, a whole set of strong, powerful emotions, but values as well.
So it's a bundle. Bundle is an experience.
Yeah.
It's a comprehensive experience.
Bundle. It's a great word.
Yeah.
It's exactly like the bundle. Mm.
Wow.
So I'm seeing a group of people who would want to contribute, who would see and feel, and I think this is really important, people who would see and feel the vision taking different forms. And I would really want that and to encourage that.
Yeah.
You know, what's the short film? Not the 3-hour Scorsese film, but what's the short 5-minute film of our vision? Because I would say, just as you need to be able to capture your vision in a short speech, you know, as we know, a great speech can come in at, you know, 5-10 minutes.
Yeah. Or even three and a half.
Gettysburg Address and others. Yeah, they don't need to be long. Likewise, visuals don't need to be long. You can do a really powerful film mm-hmm. that lasts 2 or 3 minutes, but gets to the core of your vision. Doesn't articulate all of it, but gets to the core of it in some way. And with the vision, you have that luxury to do that, to go outside of text.
You do. And it's also important, I think, Jonathan, because again, you're creating something that doesn't exist yet. And yes, you can, you know, the words help invoke possibilities, what it could look like, and of course, spark the imagination, ideally. Not everyone is as imaginative, I will say, so some of us are constrained by the boundaries of our imaginations. However, if you are able to create some sort of visual, you're now appealing to and leveraging our visual capacity, our capacity as visual learners, where we comprehend through visuals. Comprehend and integrate.
Yeah, there's something here around putting medium to the message, and each unique individual in your sounding board will have their own unique medium to express it through.
Absolutely.
You know, yeah. You just invoked the great Canadian Marshall McLuhan.
I do
maybe
not know
best. Oh my goodness, best known through his Woody Allen mention. I think it was Annie Hall. He correlated, brilliant man, that the medium in which we communicate, for example,
mm-hmm. is the message.
Yeah, becomes the or alters or influences or to whatever degree. So. The visual medium is such a powerful, powerful medium. And when you combine that with your mastery of language and action, the movement that goes behind this.
So I think those first two groups are closely linked.
Okay.
The sounding board around the vision and the language of the vision, then a second group drawn to the other manifestations of it, particularly visual, I sense here.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a third group which would want to contribute, and again, where I could make an explicit request and say, okay, let's do this by this date.
Good.
Because I'm seeing all of this as being early stages where we need the deadlines and to pick up that momentum and the energy. And
let me just clarify that the what by when. Yes, you know, you and I are especially accustomed to deadlines in
next
our
Tuesday.
Work. Yes, exactly, exactly. So yes, you could think of it in terms of deadline, but the real value of the what by when is because when, and anyone listening to this in an organization, when we ask someone to do something, and here we are, I'll also highlight, we're on requests. Remember that requests are one of the five speech acts that we humans all use. Whenever we open our mouths, one of these speech acts comes out, or many combined, but requests are one of them. We make requests of others. So requests are something we do all the time. We're accustomed to making requests pretty much all day long sometimes. When we make a request, we may know when we need that request fulfilled by. But it's interesting that often we don't convey that. So when you make a request of someone, can you do this? You could assume easily they'll have it done by Friday. And then Friday rolls around, no sign of that being fulfilled. And you go back to them and say, aren't you done? Oh, I didn't know you needed it by. So that's the reason an explicit request really matters. It's setting up the conditions of satisfaction for coordinating the work with coordinating the ignition of your vision with all of those who will be taking part in whatever contribution they make to it throughout the ever expanding collective.
Yep, that really makes sense. Thank you.
But yes, deadlines too.
Third group, I see as a group of people. Again, it could be just one or two people, but where there is an explicit request to find the spaces, the places, the institutions, the halls, the platforms where we can have those very rigorous discussions, focus groups around.
Wow, you're already going to event management.
Right, yeah.
Wow.
It's still, I keep saying to myself, early phases, mm-hmm. yeah, where it's about still testing the vision, intelligence gathering.
Yeah.
But where you sense there's an opportunity to start expanding the collective
mm-hmm.
and have a first, you know, wider
yep.
audience.
Yep. Excellent. You're really implementation.
Yeah, yeah, you got me going.
How does that you feel? You've got that ball rolling down. You're
suddenly
on the field now. Yeah. Is that what you call the football?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Absolutely. On the pitch. Yeah.
On the pitch. Thank you. Brittany's laughing at me.
And then
I know football.
I also don't know.
Oh, you don't know? Okay. We're on the pitch with Jonathan.
Yeah. We're doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go team.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Rah, rah.
And then the last, I'm going to stop at the next one because I...
Oh, we're at three and you're... Okay.
I'm going to stop at four because
okay, you've got four. Wow.
Four.
Okay.
Because I thought, again, early stages, I don't want to go right to the end and imagine everything. I want to keep the conversation tight and compact for now so that we perhaps identify more principles of action rather than actually writing out the whole thing together right now, which we don't want to do.
Okay.
We don't need to do that. But
and I'm sorry, I have to comment. Your energy is so fabulous right now. You're almost not sitting in your seat. You're you're sitting up. You're like, it's fantastic.
The excitement is palpable.
It really is.
Well,
what a delight to see.
I need excitement to get me through the last one because this is again where the Englishness comes in.
Okay.
And it's
the modesty.
The modesty. Yeah. And, you know, what we find awkward, and it's the. It's the money question, the funding question. I think there would, at the very least, there would be conversations with people to go away, think about, explore models, what I'm seeing as models of funding.
Yes, of course.
Because there could be myriad possibilities here.
Absolutely.
Starting with, and I've seen people do this, and there are lots of really good reasons to do it this way. No right or wrong, but one possibility at one end of the spectrum is no external funding for now.
Okay.
We do it ourselves. We make our own investment. Contributions in kind from within the team, from, you know, website developers, people who are running other organizations which can offer a space for a meeting, all sorts of possibilities. And I'm not saying that to avoid the budget issue. It's just an option.
Yeah.
It's an option.
Yeah.
You can go that way.
So option one, no funding.
No funding.
Self-funded.
Self-funded, contributions in kind, people within the collective providing their own skills, gifts.
Sweat equity.
Is that what it's called?
That's what it's called.
Yes, that's what it's called.
I love that. That's great.
Well, you may not love it when you're at it for years.
No, sure. And of course, this we don't want to go down this route now, but this is all linked to questions of... you know, legal form of the thing, legal state.
Wow, you are really, this is phenomenal. Really phenomenal that you were at that stage where, okay. I'm silently applauding you, by the way.
And then, you know, there's a whole range. We know what they are. There's no secret here. Donations, crowdfunding, co-investment.
What about government?
Well, that's a tricky one. There are, as you know, Marianne, there are wonderful, wonderful public sources of funding programs that have been created over decades from Washington and I'm sure Ottawa as well through to London and Berlin and Brussels.
Yeah. Well, you've got all of Europe to draw on.
Yeah. And there are some great people out there running either public funding programs or private funding and doing really great stuff. And I put it this way, I'm confident enough to say at this stage that my vision would find natural partners in that world, whether
it's
philanthropy in the private sphere or publicly funded programs.
Okay.
I've no doubt that they're there.
And in this fourth group, you know people already who could help identify, research and identify.
Yes, definitely, yes.
Jonathan, that's not a small thing.
The fact, again, your
network, you can draw on. Because you started, well, not even started, midstream, you were struggling to find who. And look at this. You've not only identified one group of who, you've got four already, and just for your initial stage.
Yeah, these are the early
Fantastic.
Phases.
Fantastic. Yeah. You did say at one point that you love planning, did you not?
Well, that it's that part of strategy which is architecture, seeing the whole, the lay of the land and breaking that down into streams of activity which need to run in parallel, support each other. There's a whole shape to it. I think I'm, you know, as I said to you a few days ago, I always enjoyed doing that.
And you're good at it. I mean, I'm not sure when you pulled this together, because you took us out for a fabulous dinner last night. It was quite late, and here we are, and you come in this morning with all of this. So
that's the coffee.
It must be the coffee, or maybe the Danish pastries,
yeah,
or
the Danish
whatever.
Pastry, yeah.
Okay. So you're stopping at 4 for now.
Yeah. I think that's 4. Enough to have a sense of what needs to be done, what shape it takes.
Excellent.
And, yeah.
Oh, can you feel, Brittany? Can you feel the action here?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And the momentum. You spoke about momentum yesterday. That word was really calling to you. And and now. The thing is, once the momentum starts, it just keeps rolling, doesn't it?
Yep.
And your brain is racing. So can we go back to the card?
Yes. So what explicit request can you make of them in the form of what by then? What by when? When?
Okay, read that again, please.
Yes. What explicit request can you make of them in the form of what by when?
Brilliant.
Okay. I've put this into the what I've called the early stages. So we really focus on that.
So you've got the groups, but what are the explicit requests you can make of each group? What by when for the sounding board or board of advisors? Mm. What could that be? An example.
Yeah, an example would be wanting that core group. And it may just be 2 people, 3 people.
Sure.
I don't think it would be much more than that.
Quality people who may be bring with them divergent expertise.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the explicit request would be to go away on their own, think about this on their own, look at the text on their own.
Okay.
And then we reconvene.
And what time, now that you haven't yet set the first date of meeting,
right,
but how much interval of time to come back?
That would probably be, if it's the full vision and we want a proper conversation about this, I would give people a month to do that, I think.
Ooh, no, too long.
No?
Yeah, no, give them a week. A week. Okay. Yes, they have other things going on, but remember we talked about lag and lapse, and momentum has to keep going. Your job as leader, and step out of government. No offense to government, step out of that world. Step into...
I'm not saying government.
No, I'm looking at your background because, and again, there's it's based on perception. Not saying this is true of you at all, but with the government agencies I've worked with, and again, not devaluing what they do at all, but often there is a different pace to resolution than there would be in, for example, a corporate environment or certainly in the media. So if you're thinking that they need a month to have the time to reflect, is that what you're thinking?
No, not time to, reflect, to come back with ideas on the text itself, the longer version of the text.
The longer version.
Yeah.
If someone gave you the longer version of your text, how long would it take you to review it and make notes? And ideas that generate their own ideas, your ideas.
Well, people work at different speeds.
Yeah.
I mean, the people I'm thinking of are people who are very much on the road because they're running their own organizations.
Okay. Could you say 2 weeks? I'm concerned in a month, some of it may be stale.
I mean, one of the reasons I also said a month is I'm not seeing the vision as, yeah, we've got a product to launch here. I'm thinking of vision,
you're not.
Which...
And you're right on that. But on the other hand, if this is the initial group, you're now pushing back your ability perhaps to move forward or keep moving for a month.
Yeah.
But what would you be doing in the interim? Maybe that would...
Well, I could launch other activities.
Okay.
Nothing to... I just see this stage as so fundamental.
So you want them to use rigor and have a robust... Okay. You mentioned the what, but I think now then you need to be more explicit.
2 weeks is fine.
But be even more explicit on the what. So you want them to, you know, look at it and give their ideas. Can you even embellish? So if they were sitting here right now, what would you say to them?
Guys, can you go away and spend some time thinking about every aspect of the vision, not just the words and the paragraphs, but what this says, how the world you know is going to react to this. Can you think of things you have seen out there in the world recently, doesn't matter where it is, that confirm the vision, support it, things that may contradict it, can be anything.
That's explicit. Do you see? Now you've given them a mandate more specific rather
absolutely.
Than just come back
oh,
with
yeah,
your
no,
thoughts.
I wouldn't say just go away and think about it.
But
this.
I needed to clarify
sure.
that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah.
So now that's set up a depth of response, a magnitude of response. And in that month, a month is still too long, 2 weeks should be ample.
Fine.
But you're setting what you've just said are, quote unquote, your conditions for satisfaction.
Yep.
Yeah. And the more explicit we can be with people about it when we're making a request, the more likely it is we'll get that back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Back to scattershot. If we don't give them more explicit, more definitive, they'll go off in all directions.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Makes
How does that feel
no,
now?
Yeah,
you've got
that,
your
yeah,
what
yeah,
by
yeah,
when with
yeah,
that group.
Yeah.
What about the next group? The second level, the people who could create the aesthetic. The film, the short, what by when could you say to them?
Well, I'd say 2 weeks again, but not to produce the thing, but to produce the idea.
Excellent.
Give me the shape. Come back with a description of what it would look like. You don't need to. Well, if you can
a storyboard, for example,
storyboard images. You know, you don't have to give me the final thing, but. Give me a clear sense of how this thing would move and how it would work.
How it would move.
You know.
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. A clear sense. So then they come back, even with their words to describe it, let alone something more concrete like a storyboard.
Yeah.
And you could be more explicit depending on who you're speaking
to. Yes, if it's visual... You don't have to create the visual yourself. Maybe show me other visuals you've seen, which have impressed you.
Excellent.
To give us a sense of the field out there.
Okay.
Or if there is a visual you're thinking of, a version that works so that we can continue the conversation.
Yeah. Terrific. Mm. Okay. Group three, the event management people.
Yeah.
Finding the venues
for
the conversations. Ultimately, maybe rallies.
Yeah. Let's be clear. We are not at rallies. That would be wrong. That would be wrong. We should never put the cart before the horse.
I'm being a bit facetious.
Yeah, no.
But you're already imagining, you know.
Focus groups, people.
Sure, kitchen table conversations.
Smaller
even.
Groups.
Yep.
Really working through what we're trying to do here.
But ultimately, you giving a speech, standing on a stage
that's
somewhere.
That's probably how it would start.
That's how it would start.
To trigger it.
Short. Yeah. And then who would identify to whom you speak? Would that be you or the event managers or?
I'm delegating a responsibility here to find in the city places, organizations, institutions.
Mm, so the places would include the organizations.
Yes. Yeah.
That would be best map. So you need someone or someones who understand your vision and who you need to reach.
Yes. And where the place, the forum, whatever it is going to be right for the sort of conversation we're going to have.
Right size, right.
I think attitude.
Okay.
And where I'd also want to be in line with the group two, the visuals, I'd ask this group, I would specifically say to this group, don't just go to the usual suspects, you know, the think tanks, maybe the political parties, maybe, you know, university departments. Fine, that's all good. I want you to think about places that are not on the radar, but which in some way may respond to the vision. You know, I'm thinking about the place 20 meters away, 30 meters away from where we are now, Marianne, the Danish Film Institute. Mm. Why do I say that? Because something tells me, looking at what they do and the space that they have there and the events that they do, there may be a small audience there that would be interested. Not necessarily a public event, that still feels we're not there yet, but the place, the people that might be attracted to go there.
And what about universities?
Yes, they're always, I mean, they're always, I'm still deeply attached to the idea of a university which by its name, yeah, is open to everybody. Mm. And which is really about exploring every possible idea in a spirit of peace and tolerance. Mm. So I think any university would be a good place to do that.
Do you see that what you're doing here is developing a communications strategy and plan?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Find the audience, yeah. Find yeah. the venues.
Yeah. 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 If I were back in Nottingham, but as we said, this is not a limitation, it's not a constraint. I would go to the football club.
Well, no offense, but you'd love any excuse to go to the football club.
I would find any excuse to go. And
but in your case, it's yeah. an extraordinary. That is a good fit because yeah. they do such.
Yeah, they do. Work. It's yeah. There are some really good organizations in this city, Copenhagen. Giving very practical support to refugees, and particularly those who don't have legal status, who are, you know, tragically stateless at the moment, and therefore particularly vulnerable. One example I'm thinking of, do their work within a church, a noble tradition there. So I think that's a space where I would feel very comfortable walking into.
And it's really quite remarkable and notable that you're seeing yourself starting giving a speech because for many people that would be the last thing they really want to do. But you have the capability and now the desire to do that, the willingness to do that.
Mm.
So meeting in churches and various platforms,
yes.
small stages,
yes.
ultimately larger perhaps
yes.
stages.
Yeah.
And being comfortable in that
yes.
milieu.
And because that first delivery of emotion where...
First delivery of emotion. Mm. Who calls a speech the first delivery of emotion?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we all know what it's like to receive documents ahead of a meeting that we have to read through.
That are never really read through by most these days. Yeah.
You know, let's cut through that. And let's just get straight into conversation, where the speech is the beginning of conversation.
Yeah, and then ultimately perhaps followed by other communication tactics, like
yes.
an article. Or,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
So that's group three. Awesome.
Yep.
The fourth group.
The funding.
And what was the when in the third group, by the way, the event managers, the what by when? Find me X by?
Yes, it's find me. Well, I think it's a time and a place. Let's book a place.
But also the right people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. And book a place, do it now. Because we're, at this stage, we don't have to worry about the size of the audience. Oh, it's, you know.
Right.
We don't have to find a great time in the calendar where people are going to be available. No, we're starting a conversation with people with a smaller group. Mm. It's the focus groups. So don't worry too much about getting the perfect date. Yeah, let's just get
so
a date.
So all of these people would be a form of a focus group. You're an intelligence gathering, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Excellent. Yeah. And Jonathan, so far we're now at 3, moving into 4. You're seeing this all of these various groups operating concurrently.
Yes.
You're not waiting for one to finish.
It's all concurrent.
It's all in parallel. Perfect. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And the same with the funding, 4th group.
Yes. Yes. Where I don't think you wouldn't need more than a month to get a view of the landscape. And that's what I would say. Put together a list of public and private funders in order of match with us. Match and possibility, so our own viability, our own ability to, because there are some funds where there may be very strict criteria for geographical reasons, citizenship, whatever. Okay, so there needs to be a close match with the vision, but it needs to be possible as well.
Yeah.
You know, don't give me a list of hopeful that sound great, but then we find out we can't even apply.
Or it has to be practical, pragmatic.
Yeah, there has to be a practical side to this.
Okay.
So give me a full list in order of merit.
Ah, good.
Starting with match. Match is important.
Match, does that reflect the values side of it too?
The values and where it's always going to be hard. You've got to make a pitch. I know friends in Brussels who are struggling now because of the economic environment. Budgets are being cut. It's always going to be tough, but let's make sure we knock on the doors where we've got a good chance of being let in. Let's start with those. Let's not discover 1 year later that there were 2 or 3 doors which were really, you know, maybe halfway open.
Yeah,
because they were doing something that was in tune with us and we missed it. So let's really look for the match.
Good, and that's why you're giving them ample time to do the
enough
digging, pulling it together, comprehensive list.
Yes, yeah.
In order of merit.
Yes, it's a list in order of merit.
Okay.
A check on the criteria.
Yeah.
The funding the application criteria. Yes, do that as well. But don't start writing the pitch. We're not doing that yet.
No.
Let's just see the landscape. See what's available.
Perfect. And you think a couple people, perhaps.
I think if it's a couple of people who have done this before, who know where to look,
Okay.
I think they can get a lot done.
Okay, that's excellent. So they'd have about a month. I'm not sure we confirm the timelines on the event management people. How much time would you give them?
I would want them to, I would say by the end of a month, I would want them to have not just found but booked times and places
beyond that.
Where the first event might take place in a month from now.
Yeah. And
but they don't all have to take place in a month from now.
Right. And as those events would be, as you said, part of focus group.
Yes.
Intelligence gathering.
Yes.
As those event manager people are out searching, finding, first of all, again, you've spoken about different geographies. You don't want to limit this to this geography, this locale, for example. So you'd spoken of Brussels, and we've Copenhagen, potentially you had said Nottingham.
Nottingham is sort of emotional.
So where would you want them to focus their search in that?
For me and where I am, it would be Brussels, Copenhagen, and probably London.
London, okay. So you've got three cities, and that would be part of their mandate.
Yeah.
Go out and find groups I can speak to in that. Now, as they're doing that, and you're giving them a month, in the interim, you could be out having kitchen table conversations, could you not?
Oh, definitely.
Okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't be sitting there.
Good.
Waiting for people to come
out. So that momentum is building and building and building.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Can you go back to the question, please, in summary?
What explicit request can you make of them in form of what by when? What explicit request can you make?
And emphasize the two words following make, please.
Yes. What explicit request can you make of them in the form of what by when?
The two words following make, please. They're not bolded, they should be.
what explicit rest can you make of them?
Of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus of you.
Yes. Yes.
This is about them and yes. what they can
yes, absolutely.
Do to contribute.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So I have a very clear sense of these four groups who work in parallel, concurrently. We have a notional idea of 2 weeks for the stuff that we need soonest, okay. quickest, a month for the things that will require slightly longer. But all of these are launching activity which will continue. There is no stopping here. These are just, as you were saying, this is mm-hmm. to give people a sense of their own deadlines that they are working to. But I don't see any real stopping or pausing
Good.
In these early stages.
So think that conceivably in a month's time, how much you will have in place.
Yes.
And how does that feel?
Yeah.
In combination with the other things you're doing individually.
Sure.
Yourself.
Yeah. Well, I think at the end of the first month, you would have lots of, you would have a much clearer view of the landscape.
Yeah.
You would have filled in large parts of the landscape and you would have a sense of the lay of the land.
And the next step to take.
Yes. And where... people are going to come back and do their own intelligence gathering. So you'd start to feel the warm spots, particularly perhaps in the venues, the places
yeah.
where you know, somebody might come back and say, well, actually, these people, they're interested and they'd actually like to organise a public event. So events may accelerate more quickly than you would envisaged.
And your vision... would already start coming into being.
Yes, yes.
Thank you. Did you notice that Jonathan started answering this question by who, not what? Despite the fact that many of the questions in the Amplify stage of Illumify are designed to elicit who can help realize the vision, it's happening with greater precision now. And that's just fine, as it goes to show that the three stages of Illumify, Illuminate, Amplify, and Unify, are not always linear. Like change itself, they can be continuous, even contiguous. In further clarifying the who, Jonathan identified four different groups, and then a specific action for each group to take. Speed came back into it, though. The when isn't meant to be deferred. It's meant to prompt, to incite to act now, not 1 month from now. Change will languish and fade if there's inaction, or enough time for others to fill it with other action, or even resist. When you don't have direct authority over others, like Jonathan, asking them to do anything can seem presumptuous, audacious even. And that's why the vision has to be meaningful to them too. That's when you can not only ask, but even hold them to account for acting. Not someday or a month from now, but soon. By a specific date. It's an interesting concept for those who are used to having the luxury of a lot of time to ponder, research, or create. The leader's journey continues. Stay tuned. If listening to this Illumify Game Changer podcast is of value to you, please like it on this platform and share it with those who could ignite meaningful change. It's here. As am I, to be of service. I'm Marianne Gobet. Thank you for accompanying us on the leader's journey. To fully experience the passage to igniting meaningful change, subscribe to the Illumify Game Changer podcast. To learn more about the Illumify Game Changer and how to embark on your own leader's journey, please visit Illumify's website at illumifyinstitute.com. You matter.
step up, speak up. Together, let's ignite meaningful change.